Blog Talk Radio.
On our noble and honorable listening audience, you're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. It's a delayed edition. We're about 3 minutes late. We are waiting for our co-host, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, and as soon as he arrives, he'll give introductory remarks. I want to, first of all, welcome you to another edition of Religion Means Alive. And I'd like to tell our audience, our honorable and noble listening audience, that on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, in Hazelcrest, Illinois, which is the Chicago Southland, we will be having a Ramadan session that Imam Warqadeen Muhammad initiated. It will be held at the Mosque Cares building in Hazelcrest, Illinois. I will be one of the many presenters. We're going to come back to Chicago in Tinley Park the 4th, 5th, and 6th of September for the annual. We're going to come back to Chicago for annual edition of the Muslim convention, the Mosque Cares convention. That will be held in Chicago. So we're looking forward to that activity, 4th, 5th, and 6th of September. We're inviting all our audience to come to Chicago for that purpose. It is claim your inheritance, be reminded of your duty to your Lord. Dear beloved people, we are living in some very perilous, very transitional times. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad reminded us of Scripture when he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, who will turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and hearts of the children unto the father, lest I smite the earth with a curse." This is a great day for the believers, and a very dreadful day for the disbelievers and God, and in the last days. An exciting time for the believers. What is exciting about it? It's the transitional period wherein the world of evil is being subdued. So we see a lot of things that are going on. And some get discouraged. Some just say, well, it's all over. But then we realize that Almighty God Himself is ever in charge, ever watching His creation, and He's working through nature and through man. The very nature is speaking to man. And God has raised up in the globe, on the globe, in the planet Earth, the community of Imam Warqadeen Muhammad to be a body that calls people back to real religion. Real religion, not religion that just satiate the people with words and rituals, but religion that calls man to become alive, alive to his duties to God. And that's what we're celebrating, claiming our inheritance, of being reminded of our duty to our Lord. We have to have a duty. God didn't create us just to wander around do what we want to do. God created us to worship him. And we are to worship him by serving first and foremost the model which he's given to us. And he has raised up guidance systems for us. And the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad is that guidance system for this time. And I think we are going through some difficult periods, difficult times. But I do think that we are on our way to a very, very, very strong change in the world. And I appreciate your listening on this Sunday. And I see that our honorable and noble guest has, the honorable noble guest has arrived. And I'm going to turn you over into his hands as I gather my strength and gather my will and gather my spirit and say to you, blessed Ramadan, and turn you over to the hands of a very capable man, a man that God has qualified to carry out the law. And he is a donkey speaking with the voice of man, just as I am a donkey speaking with the voice of man, strictly by God's permission. The next voice you heard would be the voice of our honorable and noble Imam, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Thank you very much, my brother. Dearly beloved audience, we're going to move right into it. And we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. The last days, week, even by traditional media account, they saying that there haven't been a 7 days like this in America in decades. But, and of course, we need to get ourselves straight and come back and double up the greetings. As-salamu alaykum as well as Ramadan Mubarak. And we're in the 10 days, I think, for forgiveness. And we ask Allah to forgive all of us. He's all forgiving, most merciful. We were indicating even the traditional mind-manipulating, exploitative media has acknowledged that the last 7 days in America is almost unparalleled in terms of the last 50 years of this country. But I would concede that to a certain extent. But we will take it up another level and contend that Allah, the expediter, is accelerating events, erupting and rupturing time, expediting events, manifesting the Quranic concept of commotion followed by off-repeated commotion. So, yes, they tend to reduce everything to seek superego, civilizational implications in the culture. And so, in that limited perspective, yes, it's been a big week. But in the context of Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment, in the context of Yom Kiyama, the Day of Resurrection, the events of this week have indeed been earth-shaking. Let me say, Dearly beloved audience, as we prepare ourselves during this month of Ramadan for this feast from our brother, I'm bringing this introduction out of Atlanta, Georgia, the old Piedmont Park area of Atlanta, Georgia, the counterculture area of Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to touch upon today the idea of the need for leadership. Imam Muhammad once gave a very significant message on the need for leadership, but not just any kind of leadership, not just any run-of-the-mill leadership, not just any egocentric, show-off, self-serving leadership, but leadership that's rooted in the word of Almighty God, but not just rooted in the word, but walking the word, applying the word, living the word. The need for leadership. But in this day of judgment, be almost impossible to get the kind of leadership we need in America now, other than from some individual whose mind has been influenced by the tafsir of Imam Muhammad. That individual can be Jewish. That individual can be so-called Christian. Or that individual can be an individual that's not identified with any particular Abrahamic dispensation, could be what we call a Muslim. But they're going to have to have been influenced by Imam Waqidin Muhammad. Absolutely critical, because the only mind that can shed light and give guidance and direction as to how to cope with these tumultuous and corrupt and perverted times, the only mind that's been gifted by God, that has stood big time on the American social, political, spiritual landscape, has been our blessed Imam Waqidin Muhammad. Let's just look at a pivotal incident. And before I analyze this incident, I must say that I've always been respected of President Barack Hussein Obama's leadership, but that respect does not mean that everything he or any other political does or stand for should be rubber stamped. And I don't want this to go to the extreme, however. Key combination of events that he was the center of, I don't want to be put in the context of an Obama basher. Far from that, I have a lot of respect and admiration for his leadership. But as we move on to the message that Imam Alfred is going to bring, a very supportive and learned student of Imam Muhammad, but are not only supported and learned, but very dedicated, very fearless in his expression. And that's what we need. One who's fearless and bold in terms of backing and standing upon what the Imam brought. In my opinion, so goes the African-American community in this day and time, so goes global man. If we don't fulfill our destiny before God, becoming inheritors of the land, both east and west, east, Taqwa base, enlightened spiritual orientation. West, mating our alcohol with the material creation. Understanding the economic, financial, and business laws of reality. Understanding the science, the hard sciences of mother matter. Understand the Benjamin-like sun science of social life. If we don't fulfill that destiny as a people, if we don't come into that inheritance big time, then not only are we going to have problems, but global man is going to have problems, because only these descendants of ex-slaves right here in the decadent, falling away from culture, falling away from the excellence of man, falling away from civilization, marching in a different rhythm and drum beat that's clocked in the picture itself. We have been crafted, we have been shaped to provide a much needed group prophetic oriented leadership. And if we don't step up to the plate and respond, I'm talking about African Americans, if we don't come forward, if we don't step up to the plate, if we don't grab the proverbial bull by the horn and meet this challenge and accept this challenge and embrace this challenge, then not only are we going to have problems, but you're going to see a continuing of the problems here in this country and around the world. Oh, yes. Now, let's just zero in on what I consider to be the operative moment this week. And it was Friday, the day that Adam, our father, was created, in the day upon which he's supposed to be resurrected. It was the day of Salatu Jumah, where we come together and glorify Allah and also talk about the spiritual problems of mankind, as well as the collective life of our Ummah, as well as the order which has established the environment that we find ourselves in geographically and physically and in a particular space and time on the planet. So, they dropped this Supreme Court decision that challenged the natural form of marriage that God has revealed in his Quran, in his Bible, as that exists in all the sons and daughters of Adam's most of the cultures, even those that are not on the revealed books. That's rooted in the original nature of the human being, that spiritualized marriage form. It's very important. It's just not something that's mandated in the Quran. Quran came after Allah breathed into that trustworthy nature of Adam. But he ordered that kind of marriage before the Injil and the Gospel, before Musa, before Quran. Do you understand? That's the first form of government that Allah has decreed for the human being. Not just social life, but governmental life. In those two events, and we're not going to be alone that grew out of that, President Obama made a speech condoning the actions of the Supreme Court. And he left there and went and participated and presided over a Christian ceremony in Charleston, South Carolina, raising the perplexing question, how is it that most African-American Christian leaders can feel comfortable with our church tradition, but not uncomfortable with an activity that goes against every revealed book on the planet, goes against the way of life of at least 90% of the human beings on this planet? Why could they be uncomfortable? I saw African-American media pundit the first hour or so on her show. She was waxing elegantly with Christian theology. Had another African-American woman theologian. But on a split second, the second part of the show, she turned on a dime and began to glorify that artificial union, began to glorify. So how do we deal with that contradiction? How do we understand? And what we're really talking about with that is, why is it that the African-American church has never produced a people that were dedicated to Scripture? The Blessed Imam was dedicated completely and unequivocally and unswervingly and unhesitantly to Quranic Scripture. If we study our history and in a relationship with the church, you can see that the church has always simply been a tool, primarily in a utility for us. For the masses, a balm and Gilead to help withstand the rigorous of the most oppressive historical experience in history. So it could serve that balm or opiastic function without pushing a strategy of scriptural dedication. And for the elite in the church, it's always been a tool for them to pursue, in connection with the masses, justice, what they call justice, a utility, a tool. But that's different from having taqwa and basing one whole life expression upon a scriptural authority. And we have missed this. And that's why the imam had to be raised up out of the womb of the African-American community. Quran says, be just, and justice is next to piety. We missed the boat. The African-American religious experience has never emphasized pious living. That not only must we look for justice in religion, but also piety. Why do we look for piety? Our primary concern was survival and liberational justice, but in the area of piety, in the area of piety, look at the word. If you want to be pious, live a life where you get your pie in the sky after you die, your golden slippers, and that pie will tie you to a system of oppression. So the wise saw that, and they rejected that artificial piety, but in rejecting it, they threw out the baby with the wash. And even if we study the life of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was a highly advanced man when it came to justice and social justice, but he made no pretense that he was living a pious life. No demand was made upon him to live a pious life. So we have this situation in the African-American community that if we standing like those people thought they were standing for social justice for our people, then that's enough. There's no need to also be, in addition to being just, to be pious by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means then that in our moral life, in our worship, we've never really had a sensitivity and a consciousness to live a life of individual spiritual pious. There have been some that's an exception, but study the imam. Not only did he say he came to Al-Islam for freedom, justice, and equality, he said his most important trait was that he's always been obedient. And he took that obedience and evolved it so that he would be obedient to the word of God. To not only be a social reform advocate, collectively, but in his personal life, a life rooted in taqwa, a life rooted in the proper worship, a life rooted, who is ourselves? Ourselves is a righteous Muslim, rooted in righteousness, rooted in piety. And even Dr. King loved to quote that combination. Let come, and righteousness come like mighty waters. You cannot be just really in a social context if you're not just to yourself and living the excellent, pious life that God has ordained for the human being. That's why when we make our dua, when we do wrong, when we do something that's not consistent with a pious, righteous life, we say, oh Allah, I have been unjust to myself. That's my fault. But in the church tradition, the only injustice to African Americans is the racism and white supremacy. And as long as we use in religion to stand against that, we think we are being religious. That's our conditioning. And so it's going to be very difficult now in this day when the fires ablaze, to see the kind of religious leadership to come forward like the imam that stood for social justice but also advocated righteousness, piety, and the way of moral life that God himself ordained. That's our problem. You can't find any African-American Christian elite that's balanced with a righteous individual life rooted in taqwa, piety, and righteousness, but also concerned about justice for mankind. Fundamental problem. The religious womb of the church did not produce that kind of human being. So as Allah got ready in the first third of the 20th century to deal with our problem, relative problem of a lack of justice in America. In the 1930s, where the imam was born, he understood that the church had taken us as far as it could take us. So he had to create another womb called the Nation of Islam, so that that kind of individual, one that's rooted in individual taqwa, obedience, devotion to the way in the word of God, but also concern about the collective life of man. Following the pattern of Joseph, not seeking to marry or to seduce the wife of Pharaoh, not tested in prosperity, in positions now of authority in America, but simply want power, authority, and abandon the moral cloak. There's no way that individuals had the power, had been conditioned, had the development. Once we, as our elite, came into progress and advancement and prosperity, the religion of adversity could do them no good. When there was time to have a deen in the time of prosperity, only a pious, God-fearing individual, totally devoted to the word of God, not thinking about the systemic demand, not thinking about the superego demand. And if any posture, and if any position goes against the way of God, I'm not going to weigh it and look at my advancement within this culture order. Where did they get the spiritual muscles? Where did they get the moral muscles from the church to be able to not yield to this kind of massive collective collapse in terms of temptation? I believe it was the divine origin with this group out of Motown, the Detroit Sound, named the Temptation. I think that there was a sign that the African-American people coming out of church influence that did not emphasize piety and purity and righteousness in terms of individual morals and individual life. Never any real regulation of the sexual life. By Allah, I bear witness that my daddy was a preacher. My granddaddy was a preacher. And they did not regulate their sexual life. I did not regulate my sexual life. I grew up going to church every Sunday. And I'm talking about 7, 8 years old. I didn't care anything about no pious, righteous law against fornication. None of the little pills that went to church with me was concerned about sticking to no moral law against fornication. Not just in the urban north, where we lost our little southern barons, till we become very rampant in our violation of the sexual laws undergirding reality, but even in the South, when I would visit the rural South with my grandmother, all of my older cousins influencing me and influencing the younger ones. They didn't have any deep moral conviction about no sex. And I mean, we were showing up whooping holler in that church on Sunday. The preacher didn't have it. Never has had it. Because in its best expression for us, we only look to it as an emotional catharsis for common everyday African-American masses to be able to survive the pain of slavery and Jim Crowism. And for the whites who wanted social justice, they saw it as a tool to organize us and to find some spiritual principles, the story of Moses, the little just statements in Isaiah and in other parts of the Bible, but never really taking the word of God seriously as a absolute discipline for life. Many of them have been sent to seminaries when they were told that the Bible was not the infallible word of God. Now, President Obama comes from a background, how are you? His folk were not deeply rooted in religion. Where would he get the moral tenacity and strength with all that political Democratic Party pressure and other things for election to procure a career? Where would he get this moral strength to stand up in America and condemn that? It's just not going to come from the church experience. It's scientifically impossible. And even in the Muslim, the way men are treated as a replica for Christo-Negro religious orientation, then we'll bring that same attitude. Pick and choose and play with Quran. All throughout of it, all you see is condemnation of that kind of activity. There's no way an intelligent Muslim can miss what the Quran says about that. But my granddaughter telling me all on the internet, some of us talking about it's okay. They in Al-Islam outwardly, but underneath that, they just displaced the Negro in their soul. That's the fundamental blessing of Al-Islam. That's why this happening in Ramadan. Who would fast the way we have in the past unless we not trying to halfway follow the discipline of the word of God? Who would do that? What African-American would be getting up like my family and I doing 3:30 in the morning, preparing a meal, making suhoor, and then fasting in this southern hot weather, reading 1:30 for the book each day, reading it in a month. My parents, I'm talking about my mother, not my daddy, all my kinfolk, most of them never read the Bible from cover to cover. My wife, who's not an imam, has read it over 30 times. They're not conditioned to live a life based upon the discipline of Scripture and those who gave them that orientation. They never did live that kind of life based upon Scripture. If they had, they never would have made us slaves. We got to understand, we got this church experience from a people who didn't demonstrate near any social justice nor piety in their dealings with African-American people. So, dearly beloved audience, and I say to my brother Imam and others who I respect as leaders, stop thinking that you're going to get any kind of leadership coming out of that church, come to standing rigidly and without deviation upon a discipline of Scripture or a revealed book. This never was the case in adversity when we needed it. And it's certainly not a case now. Well, we got all this prosperity and material improvement, all this status, all these positions. Do you feel me? Brother Imam, that's just got want to be it. I've tried to lay a foundation, but the solution is simple. There must be a new African-American mind producing this culture that's not only making a pragmatic use of scripture for our so-called liberation, but not concerned about individual moral excellence, piety toward God, obedience toward God. Because if you do yourself an injustice on a higher salary level, cultivating the individual life, you can never get to liberation on the level of social life. That's why no matter how much rhetoric and men are sincere, many of these non-biased people, they're not jiving about wanting to see our people free. But we haven't achieved that because social justice is built upon a foundation of water, moral excellence, righteousness, piety, and an attitude of mind, taqwa, that make us fear Allah and fear deviating from the word of God. So we can't cavalierly say it's all right for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. Dearly beloved brother Imam, I hope you listening, and I hope we meet the challenge. We tell our people, look, this whole half religious life that we've developed, where we have in the church, and then we got that old secular blues honky tonk side that's never reflected any pious inclinations, periphery, celestial, pie in the sky on one extreme, and then sure coming out the church, red dress on. Do you understand? Honky tonking, singing the blues, worshiping a secular filthy type life. And if you go back and see what Steven Spielberg did, he had them kissing each other in that movie. This wasn't yesterday. No, indeed. We don't need a pie in the sky party. Putting our minds in space, and we can't get our share of this dunya. The advanced religious thinkers should have rejected that. But then they should have looked for an alternative influence that did not advocate that kind of piety, but a natural pious orientation that was balanced out with a drive for justice. Allah used that combination together in Quran, piety and justice. Dearly beloved brother Imam, I think I've gone enough, and I say to this audience, I just laid appetizer in my remarks. Just an appetizer. Before I came to this spot, I passed by a car, and on the windshield, it had at the top hell, and then on the vanity plate, it had America. And I don't believe that that's a coincidence. I believe that that's describing the state that America's in right now, in this day and time, in a state of hell. And we need to step up and be an instrument of mercy. The first 10 days are over, and pray that Allah forgive, especially our deviating people. With that in mind, Brother Imam, I turn it over to you.
Well, first of all, I will thank you. And secondly, I'm going to say you didn't really give an appetite. You gave us a full course meal, and we didn't have nothing else. If I didn't have any more energy, I would tell the people to go back to their daily activities. But you had given us a first course meal, and it's like going to one of the homecomings down south, and they serve you everything. You know, there's the turkey, there's the steak. Well, you've given us a great meal. We're going to finish it up. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We thank the honorable and noble Brother Imam. We're going to talk today from Hajj, the global ideology. This is the fourth Sunday, so we're government. So we want to know, how are we to be governed? Are we to follow secularism? Are we to follow the Marxist Leninists, which many of our Christian brothers and some of our Muslims are following? Are we to follow spiritualism? But I think our brother left us on a very good note when he talked about pie in the sky. Let's now go and visit Hajj. Many of us have gone to Mecca, Mukarrama, which means the place of the inviolability of man. We're talking about the inviolability, not things that we can change. See, the laws of God cannot be changed. The laws of human nature can't be changed. There is no Supreme Court to change that. God is the supreme. He is the sovereign. He is the Maliki. He is the Maliki al-Madin, but he is the Maliki al-Nas. He is the king of man, of the people. So we have to go to him, and he gives us instructions and powerful signs. Dear beloved people, a meteorite fell out of the sky. A meteorite fell out of the sky. And when that meteorite fell out of the sky, it was right there in Mecca. And there, Mecca was first called Becca. She beckons. It's in the Bible, Becca. So, dear beloved people, as we address you on Religion Means Alive, you can tell your friends, you can tell your neighbors, they can dial in at 805-727-7013 and listen to the broadcast. But I'm going to address all the week events, but I'm going to address them from Imam Muhammad's toolkit, and I'm going to use his teachings on Hajj to address the whole week's event and to show us how we are to run our governmental affairs, how we are to have our management affairs. I was talking with a management investment banker yesterday, and he asked me, he said, "Brother Imam, do you have a strategic plan?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And the strategic plan is what Imam Muhammad has given us. And our religion is the strategic plan. So I want you to tell your friends, tell your neighbors, text them, tell them Imam, my office is on the air, 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013. We're probably going to finish this up so we have some time for question and answers. We'll be on probably another hour. The Spirit is working very well with us. And even though we've been infirm, we're struggling with health issues, but I think we got a message today for our public. We had a very busy week and a lot of events taking place. We need Imam Muhammad. We don't need Congressman Keith Ellison's analysis. He doesn't have an analysis. He's tweeting, it's about love. No, we can't follow love. We have to follow what God says. So let's go now to our subject. A meteorite fell out of the sky at the place where the inviolable ancient house is. And Abraham in the Bible, Ibrahim in the Quran, left out from his home and went to a place called Mecca. And God designated that as the place in the center of the earth for the house that God wanted the focus to be. That stone, the black stone, Aswad, the Arabic word, we won't deal with that right now, but because my mind is racing, but it's the black stone. But the black stone represents the nature, the man, human nature, that shouldn't be up in the sky. Human nature should be on the earth. And the problem with sky religion, it is deals with life after death. It deals away from the affairs. And God corrects that through the Quran. He corrects that through our religion. When the Christians pray, our Creator, who art in heaven. Now, God is not, God rules the heavens and the earth. Al-Islam comes to correct them. God is the God of over creation. He's the God. He's a Rabbil Alamin. He's over all systems of knowledge. I hope we make that clear as we go on to discuss. We have a house. Why did God want us to construct a house? Is God housed in that house? No. Everything in our religion is for us. It's instruction for man. God needs nothing from us. You can't please God. He's not a man. He's not a woman. He's not a black man. He's not a white man. So you can't please him. That language is troublesome for us as Muslims. How does a cat please his nature? We can please the nature that God has created, but we can't please God. If you never do what God tells you to do, it ain't going to affect God one bit. I repeat, all of this is for you. And God's messenger tells us that all of the pillars are for you, with the exception of one pillar. Let's repeat these pillars, because this is Ramadan. We need to go to our religion, and our religion should guide us. The first pillar is the bear witness that there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. But when we say we bear witness, we not only say we bear witness, we say we have surrendered to be under God's will as is contained in the religion. In other words, I can't make up my own mind 10,000 years from now. We decide, okay, it's okay to be with dogs. 5,000 years from now, we decide it's already to be with cats. No, you have to be guided and directed as a Muslim by what God says. So we have surrendered to God's will. That's number one. That gives us the concept man is not God. God is God. Pillar one. Pillar two, the five senses must be under the guidance of God, with the directed by God's word. And we have to follow even our devotional practice has to be what God ordered. Now, we can't do what we want in our devotional practice. We don't have a freelance authority in that. We can't make up worship. Rituals of worship. These rituals are in reenactment. We can't even go and make up our own formula for zakat. We can't make our formula. We have to do what God says to do. And the fourth pillar is fasting. God says that it's for him. Now, how do we mean it's for him? When you surrender your will to God, that's what it means. But again, it benefits you. But God gives you a free choice. You don't have to give your will to God. God gives you the freedom to believe or not to believe. That's another thing we have to understand about America. America is a peculiar society that gives you unlimited freedom. And America also gives the bad guy unlimited freedom. So it's a land where if you can establish good, you'll get it. If you establish bad, they'll get it. I hope you Muslims wake up, that if you think you're going to sit in these massages, sit hiding, and you don't go out here and teach the public what you are all about and call the public to sense, then it's on you. The indictment's on you. It's not on the public. It's your job to keep the public straight. We get to the fifth pillar, which is teaching us how to see ourselves in a global, universal picture. We start with the fasting by what? What message we start with? First thing to make, not the fasting, I mean the Hajj, we have to take off our national garments. Men, not women, men can't have national garments when they're going to make a Hajj. They have to put on what is called a ihram, which means an honorable, from the same honorable root. And what honor? Innocence. Innocence. Imam Muhammad in early 1965 had already arrived at the understanding of God, so much so that he confounded the wise, and they told him, you would be the leader of Muslims and America, because he said the two garments that you wear on a hard car, a clam, was a reminder that man was like a diaper, two diapers. He has to go back to his baby-like state. Remember, this is Imam Muhammad, the man that taught Minister Malcolm, the man that taught Minister Farrakhan, the man that taught the minister's class when his daddy was away. All of the ministers of the Nation of Islam had been taught by Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, and he had given them this understanding. The man was teaching the way I'm teaching right now in 1965. I'm only repeating what he said. I don't have no methods. God has revived the message of Quran in the way of Muhammad, some call Sunnah, the Uswa Muhammad, through Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. Not through Minister Farrakhan, not through anybody else. They may revive the Nation of Islam, but truthfully, Imam Muhammad and those who follow him, we are the Nation of Islam in the West. We are no longer lost. We have been found. God doesn't give it to four or five. His way is to give it to one person, and they resurrect the rest. Your resurrection, your life, and your death as the resurrection of one soul. God made us from nafs and wahidat, one soul, and from them there are many others. I'm a part of that soul, Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. I've come out of that soul. I'm only repeating what he said. And the more I'm dedicated to what he said, God will give me insight. He'll give you insight. And some of you have more insight than others. So let's work hard. That's how we fight the scheme of Satan. We fight his schemes because we first know his scheme as God has revealed him through Quran and through a guided leader. You can pick up the Quran all you want. If God doesn't bless you to see it, you won't get it. Repeat that. You can pick up Quran all you want. If God doesn't bless you to see it, and I think 2 days ago God says to us in the Quran that he's made it, that's allegorical, and as established. Even to get some of the established parts of the Quran, if you're not guided by God, if you haven't been blessed with somebody who knows Quran and its theme, you will even get lost even in the established part. And how do I know? When I look at the Muslim world, they haven't done anything to show me that they have even understand of the basic and fundamentals. I've met very, very few, and I've traveled and met the Muslim world. Some of you may not know, I was on Hajj. I met the leading scholars. 1978, I was in Mecca, Mukarrama. In fact, I was a guest of the king. I met the king. I met the top sheikh there. And nothing I heard from them impressed me enough to say these people even understand the fundamentals of Al-Islam. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to get to our subject. So we start with the invitation that God gives us to come to Hajj. Labbaik Allah, labbaik Allah, Allahumma labbaik. Here I am, Allah. I'm at your service. Our life, our death, it's all for God. Again, that language is very difficult. Not for God, but what God has ordered, what God has established. That's how we'd understand that. We have to follow what God has established. That's how we satisfy the God-given nature, the inviolability that this United States Constitution was founded on. And I think America's going through a temporary problem right now. We're going to bring this country back to its purity and to its destiny. Let me just say something about what happened down in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm not going to let the Supreme Court decision interrupt something that has been a divine intervention. I don't think the black preachers, including Reverend John, Bishop John A. Bryant, my friend, the senior bishop of AME Church, I'm sure he didn't get it. Neither his son, Jamal Bryant, got it. And I think if his grandfather were here, Bishop Harrison A. Bryant didn't get it. I'm very familiar with the AME Church. Very familiar with it. I'm a loyal son of the church. Study it night and day. And pray to Almighty God that the church be revived. And God will send them a reviver. But once God, we accept during this 10 days of Ramadan and ask God for his mercy and for his forgiveness, then maybe God will bless the Christians to get a revival. We already have a revival. And we have to implement what the revival has given us. Now, I want to just talk about the innocence, this Ikram. We're still on the Ikram. Innocence. I'm going to say something to you African-Americans that's going to be very painful. Very, very painful. I hope no other ethnic group is listening, but I'm sure they are, but I'm going to say it anyway. The 9 precious lives that were lost, that Dylann Roof thought he took, has done more to redeem the image of African Americans than all of the Sean Bells, all of the Freddie Grays, all of the Michael Browns, Eric Garners, and others. Innocent people praying to God, studying the word of God, were killed in our sanctuaries. The message to me that I read is, African Americans, I read the reverse of that message. African Americans has to kill their ego, kill their conforming to the life of the world and re-enter into its spiritual dimension. And that will bring you, yes, it's the blood. I know, brother, ma'am, you advocating the sacrifice of the blood? No. The blood means life. I'm reading but what the message is. Now, I may be wrong. I didn't say this to Imam Muhammad, this is Imam Alfred, trying to render an understanding and read the signs. Immediately, when those African Americans did what the Prophet Muhammad did, when he went into Mecca and he forgave the people, I don't know, I have to say maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they said they forgave him. I have to accept that. Immediately, the white supremacy was killed. That insanity that Minister Farrakhan is talking about, justice or else, that's never been the approach of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said the way to deal with the white man is rain, snow, hell, and earthquake that God himself would render. I have not been instructed to tell you to fight this white man with physical force. So, Brother Minister Farrakhan, if you're listening, I hope you'll listen to what I'm quoting of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what you taught me. We have to return to innocence. And immediately when we return to innocence, we see an instantaneous response. The governors of these formerly white supremacy states ended the Confederate flag, which is nothing but a sign of white supremacy and slavery, suffering, and death. They said, take it down. I never thought I would see the governor of Mississippi doing that. But the governor of Mississippi, Alabama, executive office, take it out. Take it out of the license plate. NASCAR, no more of that. We're ending that. And God says to us in the Quran, when you, I'm not going to give it to you in Arabic, you can look it up. When you see the people entering the religion in crowds, the deen in crowds, the debt in crowds, celebrate the praise of God and turn to him with repentance. Ida John Nasrullah, when the help and victory of God comes, just got an inspiration to tell, give it to you now. Celebrate the praises, alhamdulillah, in a hukanatu abba. Ida John Nasrullah, fatwa, I attain a kaduni, but then he afajan, that's a be bahamdi, praise God. And the Hukanah Tawaba, which is our reading for the day of Quran, Tawaba. Turn to God. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me for I'm not going out and proclaim your message. Ooh, Elias, Abililah, Bil Hikmati, and call all to the way of God. Let us get this envy. Let us get this jealousy. Let us get this rancor out of our heart and support good, strong leadership that would lead us to establish our religion in America. And such as one is Imam Alfred, who is a man, I'm speaking to myself in third person, who is committed 100% to the direction of Imam Alfred. I have no commitment to myself. I'm committed to what God has established. I didn't raise Imam Alfred up. In fact, who made me an imam is Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. I'm loyal to him. I didn't come from the ministers, the captains, or the secretary. I came right out of the ranks and presented myself to the 21st century Christ. And all I wanted to do was attest to him of his garment. And I'm a witness bearer. When I touched the hem of his garment, not his physical garment, the garment of his teachings, righteousness, in time it healed me and it's still healing me. All right, enough of that. Let's move on. We start the circling of the Kaaba called Tawaf with left. Why we start with the left? This is all according to Imam Muhammad. Because the left represents what we have left. When we went out as one, we moved out all over the world. We left that. God then invites us back through the hard ritual to come back to see ourselves as one humanity. Not black, not white, not red, not brown, but one humanity. And we return to that innocence. And we make seven circulations around the Kaaba, representing the seven prophets, but also representing moral, mental, and spiritual, academic, business, cultural, government, that we are to have that seven guidance systems to circle what, that we'll be guided by the guidance from God as we circle the material world. We have to have God's guidance, the circle. We can't come up with our own understanding. We can't come up with our own theology. We can't come up with our own philosophy. We can't come up with our own ideology. We have to go to God's guidance as how to have the correct moral disposition, the correct moral behavior, the correct mental attitude, the correct spiritual attitude, the correct academic attitude, the correct business attitude, the correct cultural attitude, the correct governmental attitude, and it must be based on what? The Kaaba, which needs to be connected. But what else is in at the, what does the Kaaba is called? It's called the house. Bait. The house. What house? our life should be governed like we would be governed as our home. We have to feel a connection to human beings. And we should rule with human beings the way you would want to be ruled with your family. Isn't this what the prophet said? Now do you truly believe till you want for your brother what you want for yourself? Now do you truly believe that until you love the prophet Muhammad more than you do yourself? The prophet's nature of being a perfected human being whose will was only to do God's will and to treat his fellow man as himself. He is the best of us and the best human being to best exemplify the prophet Muhammad that's been on the earth since himself is Imam Waruddin Muhammad. I'm prepared at any moment, any place, with a wise person, no fools, to prove, even in the history of revivals of religion, that Imam Muhammad is the purest. His history with the Nation of Islam and his leadership is a living testimony to his righteousness, his strategies, his methodology. Came in with mercy, declaring amnesty, as Muhammad did. Innocent, not tainted by materialism, not tainted, and don't get me wrong, Imam was never an ascetic, meaning an ascetic is one who eschews the material world. No, he was not that person. That's not Muhammad's way. Muhammad was a man, was a businessman. Imam Muhammad grew up in a business community, had a business. He supported himself as a leader of this community with a business that he paid rent and messed it. Honor be Elijah Muhammad. He paid rent. He had a bookstore right in the basement of the masjid. So he always supported himself as Muhammad supported himself. We can't be in religion without being business people. I don't want anybody to think I eschew business. No, because I wouldn't be following the prophet, and by understand the prophet, because I got it from Imam Muhammad, we have to be our business people. But our business principles have to be governed by grants. We make the seven tawas to cover the individual and the four rivers. Then after the making the circle ambulation of going around the car about seven times, meaning that our material life, our home life, has to be circled. The circle represents guidance of God. Our ancestors prayed a prayer. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. Meaning that the understanding, God's guidance, the mysteries of religion, has ended with the coming of Imam Muhammad. God says, the Bible says, that one day God will give you a double portion of his mercy. A double portion. What is the double portion? He will give you the understanding. We will understand it by and by, by and by. We have now understood. No more mysteries in religion. Man has ended mystery. Man has come face to face with what these religious rituals mean. You all are really robbing yourselves of a precious understanding. Those of us who really have not studied Imam Waruddin Muhammad, you know, you should study him. You should study his teachings. You should study his understanding that he's given us of these very important educational eye-opening concepts called pillars. These rituals that hold a very rich and very powerful, eye-opening, uplifting, motivational, transformational, historical changing for in the life of man. God has blessed us with that. God, now not me, us as a people. So we then go to where Hajar struggled, running to and fro, seven times, making sight. Imam Muhammad said, anytime an African American pick up an after, we should say, remember what had your head, sight, scramble, to and fro, seven times, from Marwa to Sawa. What are you struggling for? To establish moral life, to establish mental life, to establish spiritual life, conscious and understanding, from conscious, subconscious, from light to darkness, seven times, running seven times. And when she finished that struggle, water came up to at her feet. What is this saying to us? That if you make intense struggle, right at your feet is the solution, and right at the feet of African Americans' life, at the bottom, like Booker D. Washington said, cast down your buckets where you are. There's educational life, there's business life, there's cultural life, right at your feet, at the heel. Understanding is right there for how to establish your educational life, your business life, your cultural life, your governmental life. You don't have to go to Karl Marx. You don't have to go to Adam Smith. You don't have to go to any of those people. God is establishing right within your history. Water is right there. Zamzam. You drink that water. Guidance is right there for you. And then you pray at Abraham's station. You have now got a rational understanding of two rock gods. And let me tell you something. At Abraham's station, a woman can pray. There's no separation there at the Kaaba. Women can pray right in front of you. Because it's an individual effort. It's not a group effort. It's an individual effort. The individual has to establish these principles. That's why you make one Hajj, that you see one picture of yourself as one humanity, and then we prepare for the big day, the Bay of Arafat, to be reconnected as one humanity at the bottom of the mountain of Jabal Nur, where we then are guided to see ourselves. But really, at Arafat, there should be conferences on global problems, ignorance, poverty, unrefinement. We should be governed to want to have world government and world peace. That's what Arafat is. We haven't yet seen the Hajj, but if we implement the Hajj the way Imam Muhammad taught us, it would be a world conference. That now in Arafat is the sign of the United Nations. Don't think that Jefferson, don't think that Madison, don't think that Ben Franklin and others, Eleanor Roosevelt and others, hadn't studied Quran and the life of Muhammad. In fact, part and parcel of the early education until the last 400 years was everybody had to be literate in Latin and Arabic. That's what was considered learning. And they read the great sources. Now, let's move quickly, and we may have some time for some questions and discussions, to the next phase of Hajj. What's the next phase? After coming from Arafat, we go and we stone the shaitan. And I've been there and I've watched the people. Most of them, they actually believe that the shaitan is right there. But it's a symbol, the Jamarat, a symbol of the material world, the academic world, and finally of the religious world. And the biggest Jamarat, the big one symbol, is the symbol of religion. And what has happened with organized religion all over the world, if we take 7 times 7 stone, 49 stone, and what are those stones? The principles and throw those principles against that to crush the Satan, crush his schemes. And next month, we're going to elaborate more on the schemes. We're going to elaborate on Zamzam. Now let's quickly go to the four animals that are fit for sacrifice. On Hajj, one form of Hajj, if you can afford it, it's sacrificing of animals. If you can't sacrifice animals, you then fast. I believe it's 5 days while you're in Mecca. I'll get corrected. And 5 days when you return home, for a total of 10 days fasting. And that's the fast, that's the kind of Hajj we made. Imam Muhammad said we didn't have the money to buy animals and pay a lot of money to get these animals sacrificed. So the first animal, let's find out what we're going to sacrifice, is the sheep. Why the sheep? Because the sheep is the only animal that will not resist you as you kill him. He's not going to resist you. A ram will, the male sheep. But the regular sheep, female sheep, no resistance. He was just, Isn't that what we have done in our minds? Aren't we like sheep? We just let people come in and do what they want, steal our property. Isn't that what we do? We just let imams do what they want to do. Isn't that what we let do? We just let church leaders, the scrawls, take property, do what they want. Molest children, do all kinds of things we go along with. That's the sheep that must be sacrificed. Going along with the crowd. Going along with what the courts say. Now, we don't have to be ignorant, but we're not going to abide and support and glorify that. We're going to be wise. And we're going to call people to the way of God. We're not giving up. Neither are we going to be a goat that just go around like looking for everything. Goat represents curiosity. Anybody who had a goat, just study the nature of the goat. We don't have a lot of time to go into that. But a goat is a very curious being. I had a goat. And a goat used to just come in, he just look for everything. And that's some of us. We just run everywhere. We got every kind of newspaper, every kind of magazine, can't apply nothing. Still got a sheep mentality. If they tell you print is going out, we follow it. And they said, this got to be done. E-commerce is the answer. This is the answer. That is the answer. And we become a goat just running after information. Not knowledge, information. That animal has to be sacrificed. That's a drive. That's a gen. That has to be chained and governed by the guidance of God. Sacrifice, not destroyed. Sacrifice. Meaning it be whole. So killing the animal is not meaning that you don't want that in you, but it has to be sacrificed. Just as in Ramadan, we hold back eating. We don't want to ever stop eating. We'll be dead. We don't ever want to stop drinking. We'll be dead. We need water. Our bodies, I was talking to a physician this morning, I think 70% water. So we have to be hydrated. This is also a warning to some of us who have illnesses, diabetics and things. You can't fast. Not acceptable. God don't need that from you. You're in the spirit of Ramadan. Find some other way, some other sacrifice to make. All right, dear people, let's move on. The next animal that's fit to be sacrificed is the cow. Now, in ancient society, the cow provided milk, food, meat, food. The hide of the cow even made the home. It was shoes, everything. So the cow is representative of a material society. And isn't it time for African Americans to sacrifice? This message is really geared to African Americans, not geared to the general public. Though the general public can get a lot out of it, this ministry is first and foremost for the people who are most in need. That's another problem for a lot of us. We don't want to focus on African American people. We're scared to. That's why a lot of our sages don't have anybody in them. You go all up down the country, nowhere, because people don't see what we're doing is relevant. We're not addressing our problems. We're not in the inner cities inviting them to listen to our message and applying it. I'm going to make it relevant and going to give our analysis. I'm not going to be Robert Sharpton. I'm not going to be Imam Siraj Wahad. I'm going to be Imam Alf, a follower of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, then heard of the Deen of Muhammad. So now, on to the cow. If we had a business class among us who was willing to sacrifice materialism to develop a material society that is under God, with the circle of God, the guidance of God, we could eliminate poverty among us and among the African. We don't need plans. What we need is people who have faith and commitment to the word of God and put themselves second for what God wants. That's the sacrifice. Don't destroy the cow. Sacrifice the cow. Not for God, for your society. Everything in our religion is how to God and how to build a perfect society. Christ represents the inner society, your inner spirit and your will. So, yes, Christ must first come. Muhammad came back as Christ. And when he went to Medina, he established Muhammad and he built the model community. Understand that, dear people. And the fourth animal is the camel. The camel is a very prideful being. And more we're going to talk next about, we're going to stay on this subject. This is all a part of our series, Breaking the Willard Lynch Syndrome. Our religion breaks it. Our understanding of Islam breaks that. Sacrifice trying to be a big willy. Sacrifice trying to be in charge of everybody. Sacrifice people looking up to you. Sacrifice all of that and choose proper, fit leaders, not based on an ego, not based on the fact that you want to compensate for your weakness, not based on that, but based on what God wants, the best qualified from among you in the educational community, the best qualified from among you in the business community, the best qualified from among you in the cultural community, the best qualified from among you in the political, social order. And do that for God's sake, and you will establish a model society that all will look for. And they said, when you have seen the Hajj, when men understand the Hajj, they will run. They will walk. They will come on camel or horseback. And guess what? The greatest Hajj picture to be seen is the picture of Hajj. For this community to be seen in a universal light. What is the reward of the student that brings four heads at once? The reward is to be able to see Brother Muhammad. Meaning you will really see Muhammad if you bring the four heads. What four heads? The head of education, the head of business, the head of culture, and the head of government. You will see Muhammad. You will see him for who he really is. The 21st century, the man for all times. And that typology, that archetype, that is most exemplified in Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, the world will bow at your feet. When they see that you have submitted and be willing to establish the rule of Muhammad, not the Arab personality, not the Arab culture, not the Indian culture, not the Afghan culture, but the application of Muhammad, the universal man, applied in time and circumstances to your situation. And when you see that, you will see people bow. The Caucasian will bow. The Asians will bow. The Africans will bow. And say, God has made something marvelous. He's made a universal man that will be just for all people, who will be fair for all people, who won't go into his imagination and try to build a society. will not go into his spirit to build a society, will go in the spirit and rule of Almighty God himself and stand to reflect that and build the model society. That's the picture of heart that we must have. That's the universality that God wants. And he wants you to apply right in your neighborhood, right there in New York City, right there in Chicago South Side, right there in Los Angeles, right there in Denver. Wherever you are, God wants you to apply that in your neighborhood and build New Africa. But yet at the same time, New Africa is so strong that New Africa resonates in Rwanda. New Africa is so strong that it resonates in Uganda. It's so strong that even in South Africa it resonates. It resonates in Europe, in Peking, everywhere. They say, wow, I see the universal picture. I never thought I would see it in African Americans, as one rich Caucasian told me. This was in the sign of the time with Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He started crying like a baby. Just to see the Salaam restaurant. We're going to have something greater than the Salaam restaurant. We're going to have something greater than the White Nation G. We're going to build that all over America. We're going to build a new world that the globe will see, and we're not going to do it for black glory. We're not going to do it out of revenge. We're not going to do it because we want to strut like a peacock. We're not going to do it because we want to be the most knowledgeable on earth. We will do it because we want to establish the rule of God on earth. Peace be on you and the noble honor of God and the mercy of God. If anyone have questions or discussions, just press 1 on your phone. I'll be on the air for another 3 or 4 minutes. Ramadan Mubarak. Remember, the first part of Ramadan is over. The second part is to ask for forgiveness. The third part is the release from hell. I'm going to say to you, the audience, I'm telling you, I'm going to be confessional. I've had some major problems in my life, sins. And it was during Ramadan that God released me from them. Because I begged them to help me to overcome those problems. You can too. If you got a cigarette habit, give it up. God, give me the script. Got a sex problem, God, give it up. Please forgive me. Turn to him in repentance. Go and give some money and help the poor. Send some money to mosque kids. You want to send some to Imam Alfred Muhammad. So we can continue this work to spread this message outside the masjid to the public. If there's nobody have questions or comments, I'm going to close it out and say peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lot. See you tomorrow on New Africa Day.